Good evening, Potter's Foursquare. This is Pastor Greg coming to you from my home office. We are once again in the midst of COVID, and we have a lot of people that have been missing church, and so I figured I would start doing podcasts, teachings of Acts on Wednesday nights, and then Matthew for Sunday morning. So we are continuing in our study of Acts. We are in chapter 8, verses 4 through 8 tonight. We're going to be talking about Philip and demonic activity. So I want to give some clarification with respect to unclean spirits or evil spirits. So an unclean spirit is simply a New Testament synonym, a more descriptive sort of Jewish term for a demon. So the terms unclean spirit and demon, you know, they seem to be interchangeable in Scripture. You see them used in both ways and are interchangeable. There's no real clear difference in their definitions. I think they both mean the same. An unclean spirit and a demon are basically the same thing. Some translations refer to them as impure spirits. But tonight, I want to clarify what a demon is and how they operate and why they exist. There are many misconceptions about demons and unclean spirits. Being around the family of God, I've heard a lot of people speculate as to what they think it means. And so tonight I want to bring some clarity to that, because I believe if we're left to our own beliefs without lining those up with Scripture, that's the worst place to be in, and the enemy could really take advantage. So our goal, my goal, is to bring simple clarity to a sometimes confusing reality. The most important fact that we're going to uncover tonight is that demons are real. Whether you want to call them unclean, you know, spirits or impure spirits, they're real, they exist. And they most likely will be, something that you'll have to deal with, and you'll be a target as we walk with Jesus. That's not to say that you'll be possessed, but it definitely means that you might be harassed, right? So our text tonight is in Acts chapter 8, verses 4 through 8. Let's begin reading there in the New International Version. It says, "Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. And Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. And when the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was a great joy in that city." Father, we thank you for your word. We ask tonight, God, that you help us to rightly divide it. We know that it is our responsibility, Lord, to be a workman who does not need to be ashamed, one who rightly divides the word of truth. And we believe this is a learned behavior, and so, Lord, we ask that you give us the Holy Spirit tonight to be able to discern what this means. Amen. So a couple of initial thoughts here. When the sheep are scattered, the word is scattered, right? When persecution comes, the God's Spirit is poured out even more, and we need to really recognize that in this particular situation. So there's other Philips in the Bible. This Philip is usually distinguished from the disciple with the same name because this Philip is called Philip the Evangelist or Philip the Deacon. It's often assumed that this Philip is one of the 72 men whom Jesus sent out in Luke chapter 10, verse 1, although it doesn't make that connection completely clear. We can assume that. We do know that Philip was one of the original seven deacons selected to serve in the Jerusalem church to sort of wait on those women who found themselves without a husband and needed attention, food, and different things to live on. And Philip had a great heart for evangelism. We see that. And when he, when the great persecution came, it arose in Acts chapter 8. You know, we talked about that last week. Philip, he left Jerusalem, became an evangelist in Samaria, which obviously our text says that. Excuse me. So power and miracles, they bring on demonic activity. That's just, you know, wherever we see an outpouring of God, we see an outpouring of evil as well. Satan he's the great, not only is he the persecutor, but he likes to offer up his version of things. And sometimes it's, you know, we can see that clearly as him being an alternate, doing alternate works. So the message led to freedom and salvation. And that's what Philip's preaching did. And what fellowship does light have with darkness? It doesn't. But when people are being set free and they're being saved, the enemy, he turns up the heat, so to speak. So imagine, you know, you have God's Spirit being poured out and demons getting evicted and mass healings going along, all because of the preaching of the gospel and, the, you know, seeing those set free. So it's important. When we see God's work being, you know, being displayed, whenever you see God's work being displayed like this with power, you're going to have outpourings of just beautiful things, salvation and freedom and healing, but you're also going to have an uptick in demonic activity. That's the way the great counterfeiter works, who is Satan. So what does all this mean? Well, demons function in different ways, and tonight I want to just point out a couple of those. So the New Testament term for unclean spirit is akathartos in the Greek language, and it's mentioned over 20 times in the New Testament, and throughout those passages we read that an unclean spirit has the ability to possess people and cause them sickness and harm. And we read that in Matthew 10, Matthew 12, Mark 1, Luke 4, Luke 6, in Acts 5, and Acts 8. They search for someone to possess if they are not currently possessing someone, and that's in Matthew chapter 12, verse 43, that they go out and find somebody who's weak and unassuming. Some of the more unclean or evil spirits, they're more unclean than others. In other words, there are levels of demonic activity. Some have a greater ability than other evil spirits, but they're all evil spirits, right? Some unclean spirits can interact with one another. We see that in Mark chapter 5 and in Matthew chapter 12. And so that it's a highly organized group of individuals, and we'll talk a little bit more about, you know, where they come from. But unclean spirits are under God's authority, and they must submit to him, according to Mark 1, Mark 3, Mark 5. That's just the way it is. And I think that as we begin to open our eyes to what demonic activity is, what demons, who they are, how they function, if you're not fully persuaded by the truth of God that unclean spirits are under God's authority, then you're going to be subject to, an open door. Now, that doesn't mean that the enemy can come in and possess you, because you're a born-again believer, hopefully, listening to this sermon. If you're not, hopefully by the end of it you will be, maybe for this particular reason. But if you look at the way unclean spirits, you know, operate, they know, and the believer should know, that they are under God's authority. The evil spirits already know they're under God's authority. The question is, does the believer understand that? So when we are harassed by evil, we have authority over evil. When we are frightened by evil, we don't need to be fearful of evil. We need to be fearful of God, right? God has the ability to destroy flesh. God has the ability to do whatever he wants. These evil spirits have limitations. And I think that, you know, in TV and in the way we see things in our world right now, sometimes it's easy to get an understanding that unclean spirits have unlimited ability. Well, they don't. They're not like God. God has unlimited capabilities. Nothing prevents him from doing anything. Yet unclean spirits are controlled and under the authority of God. So who demons are? Well, an unclean spirit or a demon is unclean in that it's completely wicked, right? Evil spirits are not only wicked themselves, but they delight in wickedness and promote wickedness in humans. They love chaos. They love, you know, the Bible says, you know, where you have envy and strife and you have fighting, that you have every evil practice there. They love that. They love division. They love when humans fight. They love when we're at war with one another. They are spiritually polluted and impure. They seek to contaminate all of God's creation with their garbage and with their filth, right? They're foul, they're putrid in nature. And in this particular thing, it's in direct contrast to the purity of the Holy Spirit. So if you want to really understand what a demon is and how a demon operates, it's the absolute opposite of how the Holy Spirit operates, right? The Holy Spirit comes in, and what does he do in our life? He provides clarity. He gives us peace. We are, he's the great encourager. He gets down in there with us in the depths of our walk. He's the comforter. Evil spirits are the opposite of all of that. And when a person is defiled by an unclean spirit, he takes pleasure in corrupt thoughts and actions. Just like when the person is filled with the Holy Spirit, his thoughts and actions are godly, right? So demons are not humans. And I think this is the biggest misconception that I would like to, you know, clean up tonight and clarify. Some people hold this idea that unclean spirits are demons and are deceased humans who may have not been evil while alive. In other words, they died, and there are some people that believe that there is this purgatory where you don't go to heaven, you don't go to hell, but you're kind of just in this place. And some people believe that out of that comes some unclean spirits that used to be humans that were alive. And that is just simply not the way that we understand Scripture. We know that an unclean spirit is mentioned in the Bible that are not referring to the dead for several reasons, right? They're not dead people for several reasons. One of them is that humans are never called spirits. When the word spirit is used in the Scripture, it's always a standalone term without a possessive. In other words, it's not talking ever referring to humans. In Scripture, men are said to have a spirit and a soul. The proverb says his spirit, 1 Corinthians, but men are not called spirits. They are referred to as men and are women. Another reason is that once a person dies, he immediately goes to eternal life with the Lord, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord, or eternal darkness in hell. There's no middle ground. There's no third place for them to go. So therefore, they would not be people that have died that turn into demons or evil spirits. So human spirits, therefore, do not and cannot wander the earth in their spirit bodies. That's just not the way it works. Now, I know a lot of people have declared that they have seen the dead, that they have, you know, communicated with the dead. All of that is ungodly behavior. I've had a lot of people that have died in my life. I lost my mom about, you know, 22 years ago. And 6 months after my mom died, my dad died. A few years before that, my brother died. Just a few years ago, my son died. I've never seen these people. The last time I saw them on this earth was the last time I saw them in their bodily form. I've never seen them represent themselves in any way, shape, or form as a spirit, either good or bad, or an angel or anything like that. Now, I'm not suggesting that people don't see what they see. I think our mind has the ability to play tricks on us. I have seen people that have looked like the people that I've lost, and my mind has, you know, it takes a while for your mind to be reprogrammed that this person will never be seen again. And so therefore, your mind sees it in other people. I'm just offering a suggestion, and I don't want to offend anybody that's had what they believe to be an experience. You can resolve that with the Lord, and that's not the purpose of this sermon tonight. So any unclean spirit that wanders around, taking up residence in places or people, or interacting with people in any way, is a fallen angel, okay? A fallen angel, a demon. Now, a demon can take up a residence in a person, and that's what we see. That's what is referenced here in the Scripture. So all unclean spirits mentioned in Scripture are demons, and all of them are definitely unclean, unholy, impure, and are doomed to eternity in hell, according to Matthew 25, verse 41. So, some discipleship lessons tonight. That's kind of who they are, what they do, and how they operate. So, the thing that we need to be reminded of, guys, is Jesus has the authority. The Great Commission is the first thing that we sort of read on this. And Jesus says, then Jesus came to them and said to the disciples before he left this earth, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the earth. So we know that Jesus says, all authority has been given to me. We also know that as the Gospel of John communicates, that we are in Christ the way that Christ is in God, right? We've become part of them through the power of the Holy Spirit bringing unity to the us and the Godhead. And because Jesus has that authority, we have that authority. He has all the authority, and what does he do? He gives us that authority to move forward. Now, the disciples ran into some problems when they couldn't cast out certain demons, and Jesus said, listen, there's demons, again, that have hierarchy. They're only going to come out through prayer and fasting, but still, they're going to come out. In other words, there's going to be victory. So the number two thing here is that Jesus has the power, right? 1 John 4:4 says, you dear children are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. The one who is in you is greater than the one that's in the world. I think we spend a lot of time as believers fearing evil and fearing evil spirits. You know, there's three things. They exist. There's no question about that. Jesus has authority over them. If he has authority, then we have authority. And the third one is Jesus has the power over them. And if he has the power over them, then we have the power over them. We are co-heirs with Christ, the Bible says. So his intention is that we exercise both of these things, the power and the authority. Now, that doesn't mean that we go looking for trouble, right? Remember, the enemy that seeks this earth, he's roaming around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, right? He wants to, you know, he's a hungry lion wanting to do whatever he wants to do. And he's been lying from the beginning. He's a great deceiver. We need to understand that. We don't need to go looking for a fight or picking a fight. But when the enemy rises up and we are able to see through spiritual discernment that there are demonic forces involved coming out through people, the first thing is you're not dealing with a believer. You're dealing with an unbeliever. Because if they're a believer, they can't have that demonic activity going on in their life. And so that's the biggest opportunity that we have is to allow these people to hear the gospel that they may be saved. Now, they may respond the way that these people responded. They shrieked and they had all kinds of, you know, screaming and yelling because that demon doesn't want to leave. Remember, there's a story in the Bible where Jesus says, hey, you know, I'm going to go ahead and clean the house. But remember, that evil spirit's going to come back and he's going to take seven more powerful spirits with him to see if that house is still clean. We need to make sure that when we are saved, the house is clean and it's completely covered by the blood of the Lamb. That's us. And that there are no open doors. We don't open the door to any enemy at all. We don't, you know, don't play with evil. We don't. We have authority over it. We have power over it. But that doesn't mean we get to, you know, invite it into the backyard and play around with it. That's not what God wants us to do. His intention is that we exercise both our authority and the power that we've been given by God. It's not our authority. It's not our power. It is bestowed upon us by God. These are endowments that we get from the Lord because we are saved. So when we are not operating in a place of salvation, you definitely don't want to be messing with demons, because then they have the ability to possess you. You may be listening to me right now. You may be thinking, well, you know, Greg, I don't know if I'm saved or not, but I've dealt with evil in my life before. Why even bother giving the enemy a foothold? If you get saved, if you invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your personal savior, you never have to worry about being possessed by a demon. Now, could you be harassed? Yeah, you could. You could be harassed by a demon in the form of a human being on the earth. That's going to happen. And you have, again, you have power and you have authority over that. Exercise both and do it with wisdom. If you have never given your life to Jesus Christ, it is super simple, right? You say, well, I don't want to join a church and I don't want to give. Let's put those things off for a moment. The most important thing is that you understand that God has offered you the ability to be saved by him for eternity. And all you need to do is to believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no other way to get to the Father. There's no other way to get eternal life except through believing that Jesus Christ died and rose again for your sins and my sins. And because of that, he's given you salvation. He's given you the power of the Holy Spirit. He's baptized you in the Spirit. He's done all these great works, giving you power, giving you authority, all of these things because he loves you. And if you want that, all you need to do is ask. It's all you need to do. And if you make that your prayer tonight, God will come in and he'll save you. Just pray those things that I explained, that God would make himself real and that you die to yourself and you want to live again with him. The Bible says, in closing tonight, that he has shown you what is good and what the Lord requires of thee. that you do justly, that you love mercy, and that you walk humbly with the Lord. That's for those who are saved, who are listening tonight. Your job is to do those three things. Your job is to exercise both your authority that you have from the Lord and the power that you have. God bless you guys. We'll see you next week.